Bienvenue à Bon en salle, le podcast du Théâtre des Esquerres. Aujourd'hui, on a un groupe spécial qui est avec nous. Je vais les présenter sous peu. Mais je veux vous rappeler que pour venir assister au Bon en salle, c'est faisable. Comment tu fais? Tu t'inscris à l'infolettre du Théâtre des Esquerres. Puis c'est important, comme ça, tu vas avoir accès à des gens privilégiés, comme les deux légendes que j'ai à côté de moi. Je vous présente la moins grande légende que j'ai ici, Benoît Saint-Pierre. Benoît, comment ça va?
Allô, ça va?
Ouais, comment est ton anglais?
Correct. On verra.
On va le pratiquer parce qu'on a avec nous deux invités de marque qui sont du band de Brooks.
Deuxième podcast en anglais.
Deuxième podcast en anglais qu'on avait eu avec Naya Ali la première fois. Ouais. Je vous suggère d'aller écouter ça. J'étais un peu sa brosse. All right, so let me introduce to you Alan Prater and Alexandre Lapointe. Lapointe.
Ça sonne un peu moins anglais.
Ça sonne un peu moins anglais, ouais, littéralement. First of all, guys, thanks to be here with us.
Thank you.
Pleasure, man.
You're from the Brooks, like I said in French. How did the Brooks started? How do you came with a band, with a funk band like this?
Actually, I was just coming back from a tour, not a tour, but like a vacation in Brooklyn. And I went to meet like all the guys who used to work with Amy Winehouse and Sharon Jones, Lee Fields. And I was hoping maybe work with those guys as a hired gun. Mm-hmm. And when I came back in Montreal, and everything went really well, but when I came back in Montreal, I was like, nah, it's one thing to play with artists, but I want to create something. I want to do something like from the original start. So I was talking with one of my good friend who used to play with the Brooks, Mark Bell, and we were just like, maybe we should just start our project, writing our songs and stuff like that. And then we call at first Maxime Bellavance on drums, yep. Phil Lux on guitar, and we just start writing music. But the main thing for us was to create some stuff that we like, mm-hmm. but instrumental, without vocals. It was just for a soundtrack or working maybe to trying to go into movie industries or...
Not for the music industry.
No. Okay. We were not supposed to be a band, like touring band, that. Yeah. So after a while, some friends of ours came in studio, listened to the tracks and was like, this is really good. So Dan Touin on keyboard joined the band. Sébastien Grenier, who was the first saxophone player, joined mm-hmm. the band too. And then Dan Touin had a call from a little bar in Montreal called The Diaisons. It's a little bit like a jazz New York kind of vibe, jazz club. Mm-hmm. And basically the owner wanted to have a special night every Wednesday night for 3 months with us, doing some groove stuff, groove material, and changing. The only thing was saying that we need to have a singer, a frontman, and change the sound of the singer each month. So at first we had Alan, we had Marie-Christine Depestre, and Kim Richardson.
Okay.
So at one point, we already have all those songs recorded, so we were always starting the show in the same way. We were playing our songs mm-hmm. without vocals. Alan was just waiting for his turn, and after that we were introducing Alan. But at one point, we knew that Alan used to play trombone, so we were just like, maybe I can send you the tracks, listen to it, learn the horn parts, and play with us instead of waiting for your turn. And so he said, yeah. So I sent him all the tracks, and instead of learning the parts, he returned the tracks, some of those, with vocals on it.
No way.
Oh yeah.
Whoa. That's a power move right there.
Exactly. You know when something feels really right for us, but then we heard Alan on those tracks and we're like, wow, that's it. This is what we really need to do. Mm-hmm. So after that, Alan joined the band and we met Hichem Khalfa, who used to be the trumpet player for the band a little bit after. But basically this is how the band grew up, if I can.
It's a beautiful accident then.
It's what?
It was a beautiful accident.
Yeah, exactly. It was.
They were planned
totally.
And all. And it's purely a passion project.
Yeah.
When you start a band, there's 8 musicians in it. Mm-hmm. It's clearly not for the money at first. I don't know, but that's cool. I just heard the sound test earlier. Uh-huh. And I was just outside the theater when I was walking by, and it just... the bass and all the music just trying to kick out of the theater was really insane. It's going to be a really, really great show.
Yeah.
You've been called the best kept secret in Canada by La Presse. How do you deal with that?
I didn't even know it was a secret. I don't think it's a secret anymore, though.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I think so.
That's something. It says a lot about the sound that you have, that it is so wide. It's not something that you can say it's Canadian, it's American. It's just all the inspiration of all the R&B and groove band that there is. It's just, it's crazy, man.
But I think that what this, why Brooks are, we sound like that is just because we really, really, really love music. We dig into music, like really profound. So some of the guys like really like rock music, or they're gonna like, we're gonna like Afrobeat music or reggae music, jazz, funk, soul. So every time that people are talking about the Brooks as a funk band, it's always sound a little bit funny for me, because I just hear, when I'm listening to the album or the album that we are recording right now, it's all the influences that came from each one of us, you know. Some of the band members are not with us anymore, just because a lot of things happened with COVID and since COVID. But still, even now with the new album, with different musicians who participate in the project, you can hear all the references from each of us. That's, I think, helped to make the sound of the Brooks. So some, that's why too, you can listen to an album and you're gonna have an Afrobeat kind of vibe or James Brown kind of vibe, you know?
So. Yeah. Oh, that's really cool.
So at first you didn't want to do tour music, and now you're doing that?
So. Yeah, well, at one point, at the really beginning, we weren't supposed to be to hit the road at all.
Okay, yeah.
For an example, Mark Bell used to be in the band, who was one of the band member who started the band with me, Phil, and Max. One of the reasons why he quit the band, it was because of that. We were supposed to stay in the studio, create music for, like I told you, movies or it's a thing that we already did too. So, but at one point, Mark was like, you know what? I have my studio, I have a new baby, and his studio is going really well, because now I think we can say it right now because everything is out. But Troublemakers are working a lot with Moment Factory. Now they're working on the new U2 show in Las Vegas. They were working in Paris for Les Invalides to create all the sound design. So, Mark, his passion is music. Touring was less his kind of vibe, you know. But for us, it's just normal. We all came from the musician in the Brooks. I'm not talking about Alan, but Alan used to do that.
Yeah.
But I mean, we all grew up and work with different singers from Quebec.
Were all backup artists, right?
Yeah,
you were
exactly. All touring artists. Yeah, exactly. For my part, I used to play with Betsy Bonifaci or Jonas or like another band called Drug or whatever. Which artist?
Drug, you mean? You said Drug?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know Drug. It's really good, really good.
You like Drug?
Yeah. Take it like you want. I'm okay with both.
But yeah, basically, it's our job. So basically, this is our job, that I had to play with different bands, different singers in studio or live. And yeah, for Brooks, the important thing for us is to do what we really want to do without any barrier or anything.
It's total freedom.
It's total freedom, yeah.
And Alan, you're a legend, man. I mean, I think you know it. You've been in the game for long enough.
It's Alan Prater, not Alan Legend.
Alan Prater, not Alan Legend. But I mean, your life path is incredible. Mm. Now that you end up in the Brooks, but you've been through so much things. I mean, you even a trombone Hall of Famer, something like this, what I read. But how do you land in Montreal, first of all, and what bring you to the Brooks? We talk about the when you jam with them, but what bring you to do the power move you did to sing some vocal on it?
What brought me to Montreal, I was actually leaving the States and I was moving to London, England.
Okay.
I made that be my choice to go there. And I had a friend who played in my horn section. He was living in Montreal and he loved it. So he asked me to come visit him before I left and come check it out, because I was looking for a European flavor. And I got here and fell in love with Montreal, and it had the flavor that I liked, and it was something new. It had a language I didn't know what was it about, so that was cool. I could be lost, and I liked that. And I fell in love with it and never left. You know, my ticket to London was still with me for a long time. And
I don't think it's valid anymore, no?
No, not even. This place is, and this is me now. Quebec is really home for me. And I just want to, like, so to speak, reinvent myself from being a trombone player and that kind of thing. And I just wanted to write songs. So that's what I was doing in Montreal, just sitting around writing songs and just hanging out and seeing what was going on, how I could put myself into the city. And when I met these guys, that was an opportunity, you know, when I heard the music, when he gave it to me. And I was always like that, even coming up, like, I would see something like that, and he asked me to do one thing and to listen to it, and when I heard it, I said, no, I'm going to write some vocals and push myself in it.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. It was the same thing I did with Millie Jackson, the Jacksons, you know, it was things that I saw something I wanted to do without invitations and just...
You grabbed it. You
grabbed it and said, here it is, you know. I'm not afraid of a no. You know?
No. So I get that, you know? If you didn't try it, you don't know. If you don't try it, you don't know.
Exactly. Right? You know, yeah. It's that thing. I don't mind jumping off cliffs, anything. I don't do anything with safety. You know, I really don't. And I try to spread that a lot of people, you have a dream to do something, you just do it. You know, you never know if you're going to get it or not, but you step in it.
Yeah. I mean, it's bring you to a lot of places. You have been Michael Jackson, trombonist, something
Yeah,
like
the Jacksons, Michael.
The Jacksons too?
Yeah, the Jacksons. Oh, that's where it started. When I left Millie Jackson going to do the Jacksons, and that was a crazy situation there. If it's a short story, I can tell you. I left there, Millie Jackson, and it was the Jacksons was doing a tour. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for horn sections. And my horn section would work with Millie Jackson. And I pretended to be a horn section that they were auditioning.
Okay.
So I jumped on the plane with their plane tickets, went to Los Angeles, and they thought we was that horn section. I said, yes, that's us, that's me.
So you stole someone gig.
Sort of, yeah. It was crazy, man, because we didn't wait for the auditions. When I landed in Los Angeles, we went to the hotel, put our gear down, and I drove straight to their home, to the mother's home. Mm-hmm. Drove to the home, rung the buzzer. She opened the gate, told her who we were, and blah, blah, blah. She opened the gate. We went in her kitchen and sat down and played all the Jackson songs.
Really?
Horns and sang backgrounds for her. And the mother, so she called all the boys over and said, these guys in my kitchen playing your songs. And they came over, and that's how it started with the Jackson. So it... Same thing. I just go at that thing and say, that I want, you know. The Brooks, I want that.
You know? Oh, man, that's crazy. That's really good. And it's a perfect match. I mean, when you got a guy with, like, Alan Prater just shipping you vocals, you don't say no.
No, exactly. And for us, the main important thing is to be friends at first.
Yeah.
So we didn't really know Alan before he came in. But for my part, I used to go see Alan's band. Back in the days, every week I was there. Even if I knew the show, all the songs they were playing, those guys were playing, but I was just enjoying the vibe, enjoying seeing Alan perform. And then after that, when Alan came in to play with us, the main thing that we want to have is not Alan with all the background. Yeah, for sure, he's come with it.
Yeah.
But it was mainly because of the vibe of Alan, and we all... Sometimes it's difficult to work because we're all guys with a lot of
drive.
A lot of drive. Uh-huh. But the main thing, the roots for us is really the friendship between the eight of us. And this is mainly why Alan came into the band, because we really like his ideas, the way he lived, the way he is as a human being.
When you live with eight people all the time, when you're touring enough, they had to be cool.
You must be friends.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Especially for us too, because we are all fathers. We all.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Like when we hit the road for a month and a half, it's hard for everyone. So to have that comprehension of like, okay, Alan is feeling like that way. He's gonna be alone a little bit. We're not like.
Come drink a beer.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a joke with you. No, we just respect everyone, you know. So
that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's feel better than Motley Crue. There are four people, and it just seems to hate each other all the time.
But man, sometimes people forget just that. Sorry. Sometimes people forget that when you're hitting the road, you're basically more in even maybe a tour bus or in a hotel room, or you're just passing like 90 minutes on the stage.
Yeah.
But all the rest of the time of the day, you need to be sure to make sure that you're with the right people to talk with, or because it's just, it could be some long days too.
It's a hard life.
Yeah, you can't be a great partner, a great music partner, but not necessarily friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it totally can be difficult to go touring like that. Mm-hmm. So it's very a must.
Like one of our friends who used to tour with like Tina Turner and stuff like that, friends from Montreal, Joel Campbell, he said to many times to us, like, it's hard when you hit the road with people you didn't choose. So you're on stage for 2 hours, but after that, if some people hate each other, it could happen too.
Yeah, you're just a merc.
They go,
yeah, been yeah, to be exactly. There. Yeah, yeah.
And have some gossip, something like that.
Yeah, what?
It's a gossip.
Yeah. Being stuck in gossip. And is there a competition for Iron Guns like this when you play for music? Like you're a bassman, you're trying to get some bigger gigs. Is there some competition between bassmen? They said, I don't want this guy to succeed. I want his place. I want.
Interesting. Not really with us, no, you know, because we kind of choose the kids.
No, I don't mean with the Brooks, but you all have been hired to do some gigs with like Tina Turner and this. When you get when you hit those big stages, is there any competition between the musician industries? Or?
For me, it is.
For you, it is. You said it. You're gonna grab it anyway.
Yeah, for me, you know, competition, man. You know, coming from where I come from, you know, and I'm from the States, and we are, everything is about a competition. You know, there's good and bad. Everything is about competing. Mm-hmm. And especially musicians, like even in high school, if I wanted to be the first trombone player, I had to challenge this guy.
Oh.
So I would take give him the music, we're going to do this music. I'm going to challenge you on for your chair. And the band, they will bring you in, and you sit and play the piece, and you win or lose. So that's how I grew up like that since, you know, to challenge. It's always good, healthy competitions.
Yeah.
So now it's the same way for me. I see a band, I say, oh, that band was good.
I need to be better.
Oh yeah. Oh no. You know, are we go on before these guys? Oh, they're gonna know we were on. So it's always been like that. But it's not a, you know, veracity with it. It's just a.
You're not gonna hit anybody with a mic.
No. Not really. not really. but you know, it's like here we are. And we're here for a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, to grab those people and bring them in. Da da da. And if you witness our show, we're gonna do that.
Yeah, we're going to be here tonight for sure.
Yeah. It could be Guns N' Roses. It could be whoever, the band. It could be Rolling Stones. They're going to know we were there. You know, and that's
it's your goal every night.
It's my goal every night to bring people in, let them know that the Brooks was here. You know, that kind of thing. So it's competing always with me in a friendly way.
For my part, it's a little bit like Alan, but basically I don't give a beep.
Yeah.
Because
don't
when
give
I'm
a fuck.
Just playing with the Brooks, I know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when we are touring, especially in festivals back in France or Europe, sometimes other artists are more known because they're from the town that where we're playing.
Mm-hmm.
We play before those artists. And basically every time those artists, after we play before them, come to us and like, what can I do now? Well, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Like, I got to get naked on stage now.
There you go. It's all yours, but good luck. And even those guys are like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Raising the bar to everyone.
That's it, man.
No, man. And you said you got a new album coming up. It's your first since
2020. Yeah. Well, we're working on it right now. It's a little bit early to talk about it, but I mean, we're super happy and excited about the new material. That's for sure. It's not, we don't have a release date. We don't know nothing. We're just starting mixing, like maybe in a week or two.
Oh shit! But,
it's really brand new. You know, we were supposed to hit the road in East Europe this summer, and we just decided to stay in town to make sure that we have everything, record everything, make sure that everything is in place. So we started recording in July with Mark Bell, actually, that one of the guy who started a band with us. Farmer. And we record all the basics at Pierre Marchand Studio, which is an amazing studio. And we work with Frédéric Bouchard, too, Mark's Bell partner. And we were between Studio Pierre Marchand and Troublemakers Studio to do some vocals and horns. But it's really early to talk about it. But basically, it's going to be like all the album that we did already is going to be a different album. It's not going to be, we're just not going to sound like Any Day Now. We're like Any Day Now was a big project to do with all the orchestra thing and stuff like that. We're not there anymore. It's maybe a bit the blend between the two first album. Like it's more song, more between us.
Less production value, more the band it is.
Yeah.
It's gonna be more real. In fact, it's gonna be. Well, it's gonna be cool. But I was asking about this because I'm interested in the creative of it. Because you're eight guy, you all want freedom, but somebody got to take the lead somehow. How do you work your process through the creation of a new album like this? Is that you draw the song, or you just everybody pitch something? How is it?
Well, now we're four. We're always going to be eight minimum on stage, but original members, the core band now is four.
Okay.
We used to be eight, but after COVID, like a lot of things happened. So now we're four, and what we decide to do is just like make sure that everyone have his 2 cents of input. And like for sure for Baudin, the percussionist, it's harder for him to come with like some chords and stuff like that.
I've got a riff.
Yeah, but it could came from
you never know where it came from.
Exactly, but basically Phil and I were like last October we start seeing each other, like we have always recording sound checks like stuff like that and grooves, and so we get to his place starting to some grooves, some riffs, and put together some songs, trying in different tempo, different keys. And at one point, we propose those grooves to Alan, and
you're the chopping block. Nah.
Well, what's the good thing with Brooks? It's we always have something new, and sometimes we finish an album like just even with the new one, it's the same thing. We have a bunch of grooves or ideas that we didn't choose for the album. It's not because those are bad. It's just because.
Doesn't fit.
We need to stop at one point. But for sure, everyone's taking their place and like our lead at some point. Some like maybe at the beginning, I was more into like those grooves and trying to fit two grooves together. And after that, Phil came with Alan with the horn section ideas with Pat Luneau is the saxophone player who's playing with us now, and so those guys too. Even if they're not original members, they had some ideas that there's a reason why we hired those guys, you know. And same thing for Mark Bell. I think that Mark's gonna help us to. We chose Mark to mix the album, so we chose Mark because we want to have his flavor, his color. But it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard, just the four of us between, because we all have ideas, a lot of ideas, but we need to think about the band, not about an Alex solo project or Alan Prater or Phil Lux solo project. We need to think about the band. So sometimes we forgot. But if I forgot about it, Alan's going to say to me, you know, like, hey, your idea is good, but maybe not for the Brooks or maybe not for that song. Same thing with all with Phil Lux or Phil Baudet.
Yeah, and when it came to lyrics, it's all you? It's all you, Alan, who read the lyrics, or it's...
It starts with me mostly, but me and Phil do most of the lyric.
Okay.
And Alex is always there to, you know, oversee a lot of things. But basically, the lyrics is mostly stories that I've experienced, and it starts there, so... And we share. Me and Phil get together and collaborate on some things. He has some ideas, some great ideas about things, and... But most of the things are just stories that to be told.
you tell your life, or you're just
they're all true. That's for sure. I try to stay with that. Everything I write about is a true story, whether it's your story or his story.
Uh huh.
but mostly it's going to be my story. But even if it's your story, I try to write what I think your story is. Uh-huh. You tell me something about something that happened to you, yeah, then I start saying, yeah. Like that. So that's where it starts from, you know, every day. Even with touring, like being out and I see something go on in the street or something in soundcheck happen, and say, oh, that was crazy. Then I think about that and put it in the bank like that.
And you came with the word when you heard the music, or is it just something you write on paper and then you adjust to the music? How do you work it?
Well, for me, I write every day. Yeah. I'm always constantly writing every day. I mean, I have a home studio and I write and produce other acts too at the same time, right? For a different bands too at the same time, and artists, hip-hop, R&B, soul, electro-pop bands. And I'm writing all the time. So I banked some songs and subject matter, I put them over here with the Brooks. Subject matter, I put that with so-and-so. And, oh, this is a female song here, like that. Like, even I had some songs that I wrote for another band, and I listened to them, like, wow, that's definitely a girl song, you know? Yeah. And wound up being that. So it's always, I'm always writing, always. Always. Like, I always have my little studio with me now. Everywhere I go, it's a studio with me somehow.
You're always ready to spit on that.
But the inspiration for the Brooks is always more than 95% of, well, pretty much all of it, it starts from the band, the grooves. And so good about this album is that it was a lot of grooves that I could choose from that inspired me to do some things, you know? And it was like, wow, this is really cool. Oh, that reminds me of, this is definitely my bag. Oh, this, with the mindset of it's the Brooks sound, you know? And so this time it was very, very cool to sit through everything. There's a lot of stuff going on and it's fun like that. So most of the things come from the band first, from the music.
From the music perception and everything, it just triggers some memories or something. And said, exactly. That remind me of that. Okay, go, let's go.
Exactly, exactly. You know,
that's a cool process. And now you're in Amos Abitibi, for those who are listening or curious. How is it? How do you feel playing in the woods like this? Deep, deep, deep in the side of the wood of the Quebec?
You know, for me, man, it's like, it doesn't matter to me. You know, it's a stage, it's a stage. You know, and until you meet the people, you know. And so far, my experience being in Quebec, all over Quebec, has been just beautiful experience for me with the people. But for me, a show, man, I do a show in a phone booth. It doesn't matter, you know, in the bathroom. It's just, I like being there. And so once you do the show and you meet the people afterwards, then it's like, oh, my God, this is really cool. Let me come back again, you know.
Yeah.
So we don't have much time to go out and hear and see things before the show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that. What's
nice with a town with Amos is just you do a school on the sidewalk and you see pretty much all of it. So
that's
going to save you some time.
So we can go out in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We talked a little bit of it just before we came on air. But you live something weird in Rouyn-Noranda with our prime minister, not our prime minister at the time, but Pierre Calpelado. You've been the famous band who've been screaming, en français, s'il vous plaît. You were playing, right? It was during the presentation.
We were playing at the fameux
Cabaret des Dernières Chances.
Quartier d'hiver.
Yeah, but we were playing at the Cabaret des Dernières Chances, La Dernière Chance.
Yeah.
And I was just... I hear like, no, no, what the fuck is happening? And someone explained it to me after, and I went like, Pierre Calpelado was at our show. Okay, cool, that's cool.
Au cabaret,
okay, cool. And he screamed at us, I'm like, wow. I mean, for me, it makes no sense, because before screaming at someone, I hope you know to who you're screaming at. You know, I mean, Alan's not from here.
No.
I mean, how can you just shout out something like that when you don't even know to who you're screaming at? I mean, it makes no sense. I mean,
it's like a Stevie Wonder right there.
Speak in French.
Stevie
Look
Wonder
where you're going.
Give me the blue box. Give me the blue box.
Got lunch?
No. It's right. And do you live it as a band? It's a funny story. Is this what it is?
I forgot about it. Actually.
You just don't care about it.
No.
Right?
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, for my part, if we're talking about language, I wish my kid would be way more better than me, speaking both language, French and English, and even more, because it's opened so much horizon. It's important to know well your language. Like in French, it's super important to know how to write it and express your, express yourself. But man, now with 2023, I mean, there's a lot of people from everywhere coming in Montreal, coming even here. Or so French, yeah, it's important for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's important too to...
If you want to communicate with the rest of the world, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Learn English or Spanish or something like this. Exactly. Or even Chinese. that was racist. Mandarin.
Yeah.
Mandarin. Sorry to all the Chinese listeners. Now, is that something that you have faced some adversity since you just don't speak French at all when you arrived in Quebec? Or?
Yes and no. But, you know, just from life experiences, man, I've been so many places around the world and experienced a lot of things. Like growing up, from the time I grew up, not to put a date on myself, but I experienced a lot of things a lot worse than being here, you know. And people here, I wouldn't be here unless I loved the people and people seem to love me. So I haven't had those kind of things that turned me sour, you know, just by chance. And I think it's because of the music, you know, so I can't really speak on that kind of thing much because I don't experience it that much, you know. But when it does happen, it's like, all right, you know, just one person in the crowd, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me at all. It really turned into a joke to me after a while. We communicating. Yep, in France, we there came through a guy screaming out, but he screamed out in English. But anyway, you know, it doesn't bother me at all.
I was just curious because we are. Vas-y.
And do you miss something to be in the USA?
Well, miss as far as being on a stage in the U.S., yes.
Okay.
But as far as I go home and visit my family as often as I can.
Your family's still in Jacksonville?
Jacksonville, Florida, yeah. And we have family around the area. But I do miss them sometimes. Like this year, we started working the album in the middle of summer, and I'm normally there around my birthday and the kids' birthday and my wife's birthday and everybody, and we celebrate together down in Florida. But we started doing the album just before that, so I haven't been there for this year yet. And we're going to France in next month, and I won't be there for Thanksgiving. So I may make Christmas, I don't know. But anyway, I do miss it. Okay. I do miss it sometimes. But I'm, seriously, man, I love being where I am. I love, if it wasn't for my family being there, I don't miss the area. I don't miss the being in the States. I miss my family.
And
right now, man, honestly, You couldn't pull me away from Quebec. You could not melt me and pour me in another.
You've got gravy getting in those veins all the time.
No, man, I'm telling you, man. This place hugged me, man, and I don't know. And I don't speak the language, but I understand and pour. But it just seemed right to me.
Yeah.
It just seems right.
I was asking because I had some argument with people on Facebook and something like this. She was telling that it's illegal to speak English in some place, and she was living in Montreal, and she said that we were racist towards Anglophones and all these efforts. I was just curious, since you're totally Anglophone,
Totally Anglophone, man. And racism is a thing that I don't try to put my hands on that. I participate in that. It's like politics to me. I don't touch that either. Yeah. I don't, you know, if it's about love and understanding, then I'm all in, you know. But don't push me too, you know what I mean? And I think everybody's like to have their limits, you know, but I haven't come to anything that pushed the limits. And racism is something that, like I said before, coming from where I come from and the time I grew up in, I witnessed a lot of things more treacherous than what we go through today. So it's like water on a duck's back.
You know? You're thick skin enough to just
don't care about it. Oh, very much so, man. Mama taught me a lot of good things, you know, and it's cool. It's cool.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. Je pensais que tu l'as parlé.
Non.
No, it's always those subjects. They said, no, I'm going to let it breathe a little bit. I'm going to go back.
confused.
What is this?
Hey, it's for you guys. It's sparkling water.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I thought it was a beer.
Yeah, me too.
No, it's sparkling water.
Oh, cool.
No, it's really good sparkling water.
Yeah. Okay.
It's honeybee water.
Whoa, it's got honeybee. Just taste it. Yeah, yeah.
Honeybee, that one, the fruit of dragon.
You want fruit of dragon? Dragon fruit, Mathieu.
Wait. Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too.
Yeah?
Two dragon fruit.
Mathieu.
Honeybee dragon fruit is really popular, man. That's some good sparkling water.
A mango.
We're working on
it. Spring you, water from the beer from the region.
Oh, yeah. Really? Eh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's made from our water source.
It's kind of the same as Esca, but
yeah.
Another Esca. Uh-huh. Yeah.
No sugar.
No sugar.
Sugar, no calories. Oh, cool.
No
that's,
calorie.
That's perfect.
It's water.
Yeah, I wonder why they put no sugar on it, though.
Yeah. I don't.
No calories.
There's no water you got around here.
Maybe it's because there are some flavor. Maybe.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, the flavor for sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Never thought about it.
This one has 0.2. Oh.
So it's not the first time here in Abitibi-Témiscamingue.
You play in Rouen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like we just talked?
Ouais.
Oh, nice.
Ouais.
Thank you, Mathieu.
Merci, Mathieu.
But...
On va l'avoir, notre commentaire.
This is the man.
That guy, man.
He's the one who introduced me to your band.
Oh, yeah?
Since he became the director of the theater right here, he said, I want to have this band, I want to have this band.
Nice.
And he just said, what is it? He just sent me some songs, and I said, oh, I want to see the band. I want to see the band.
I want to see the band.
I've never seen the band.
I never saw you. Nice. I just heard your Spotify. I've just been on your Spotify and jamming your tunes.
Oh, we can do anything then.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
You can get free tonight.
Yeah,
cheers.
Yes.
Cheers.
Thank you, Anibi. That's good. So good.
This is amazing. Whoa.
0 calories, 0 sugar.
Different flavor.
Ooh.
Mm. Wow. So is it Amos or Amos?
It's Amos.
Amos.
Yeah, Amos. Amos. Yeah. When you say we say Amos because we're stupid French people who try to speak English, but it's mostly Amos.
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 It's funny because it's Amos. The name of the then prime minister, wife.
Yep.
When we decided the name of the town, they said, we're going to honor the wife of the prime minister just to... it was something, some way to get some favors from them.
Oh, yeah.
Since we were just this little northern part was not really cared for. It's a really, really young region. We just hit the 100 years in 2014.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's not older than 100 years here. So.
Okay, nice.
That's really young.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No?
No. Tu veux pas poser une question, Benoît?
Ben, je...
Pour Rouen, tu disais que c'était la première fois.
Ah, ben, je... I was wondering, you did the FME at Rouen and the Quartier d'Hiver? I think you...
We played at the FME 3 times.
3 times?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And when did
I don't remember the year, but I know that we did 2 summers and 1 winter.
Winter, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but I was just wondering... if you come often here in Abitibi-Témiscamingue. So you did 3 times with the FME and now with the Brooks?
As the Brooks is really our first tour here in
Abitibi. Okay, okay.
We came only for the FME in the beginning and it's our first time, right? Like touring, it's 3 days. It's Rouen-Aranda, Amos, and Valdan. But still, I was super happy because a lot of my family came from here.
Yeah. Colombo, you said, right?
Huh?
From Colombo around.
From Colombo, exactly. Exactly, from near La Sarre.
So I have a lot of family in Rouen, here in Amos, in Val d'Or.
Je veux juste dire que Colombo, on parle de vous autres en anglais, ça doit être rare en ciboire. And like you said, some of the family members going to come see you tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
That must be nice.
Yeah,
It's a rare opportunity for
really
them.
It's really nice because the difference, well, even if Alan's far away from his family, we all live a little bit the same thing because, I see my kids, I see my wife, I see my parents, but all the rest of my family, most of the time we are on the road. Mm-hmm. So we're even during summer or winter or holidays, we're always somewhere else. So it's really cool from my part being here. I had the chance to see some of them
yesterday, and tonight I'm going to see another part of my family. But it's been years and years, I did, because we're super close too. As a family, we're super close.
Were you from Colombo yourself? Or?
No. My mom,
grew up, and she moved to Montreal.
Yeah, she moved to Montreal. I grew up in Montreal, but I came in Abitibi like since I'm a baby, a minimum twice a year.
Oh shit! Okay.
Till we hit.
No, you laugh. It's rare. Some people from Montreal came in Abitibi. It's pretty rare. As often as that.
But we, once again, till maybe 20 years ago, when you work a lot, and the kind of work we do, we're always on the road or traveling or stuff like that. So I don't have the chance to come to see my family.
It's not easy to come here because you need one day to come. And
It's not like you're living in Montreal and you have some family in Laval. It's 20 minutes driving, you know.
Not the same thing.
But now it's like, I'm super happy to be here. But for the band, it's just the first time that we are doing a couple of cities in Abitibi.
And everything, everyone would love... being here?
Us, we all came with different project here.
Yeah.
Alan came for a different project. Me too. But as the band, once again, is the first.
Okay.
And we're going to just... you've talked about you missed the stage in the United States. Do you mean that you've never been with the Brooks in the States?
Yes.
Never tried it?
Exactly what I mean.
Or why is it?
Well, I guess it's maybe in our future, but... I think it's just because, you know, wherever the music takes you, you know, if it's not to the States yet, then it's not there. So far, it's just been Europe now. So just patiently waiting for that. But I want to know how it translates there. I really do. So that's the part I miss being in. Mm-hmm. Not to sound any way, but English audience and see how it translates, you know. Yeah.
But
and we must, once again, we were not supposed to be a live band. We were supposed to make instrumental music. So the process of being what we are now was longer maybe than if we had that idea at first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when we start playing outside the studio, we did a lot of festival here. Well, we did everything that we can do here, even television shows like Belly Bomb and Bonsoir and stuff like that. And at one point, COVID hit. Everyone at the same time.
Also, it was pretty early in your career.
Well, it was
as a touring band, I mean.
Yeah, but everything went well. We went to play in Africa, Morocco, and Mexico, and we had different plans and to go to Germania, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Then COVID came and break everything for everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And we put out the latest album.
Yeah, we had just released the album.
Yeah, exactly.
Just before COVID hit.
Yeah. Well, we were trying to release the album, but I don't know if you remember, but we released it during the COVID.
We didn't
have the chance to play it because we launched it with just like a table like this and in front of people.
So technically, this is the tour of All Day Now that you're
doing. Yeah, it's the last shows from All Day Now.
Okay.
But the thing is, we were all like, what should we do? We are 8 musicians, and if you if you add the technicians, we're minimum 10. So all those bands were like 2 or 3 or 4 musicians. They were doing those live live shows streaming. And we're like,
it's hard to do an apartment 8 bands.
Even for us, when I was listening to those shows, it was cool, but it was hard for my part listening to our shows like that, knowing why we're doing that kind of shows once again. Mm-hmm. And I was not sad about it, but it was not the thing that we could do as a band for the Brooks. So Any Day Now came out, and we were like, okay, and COVID, okay, so we might be able to play. No, okay, it's canceled again. Or maybe, it's canceled again. But then we were super lucky just before COVID to sign with a great, well, the guy came out now he's a friend of us, but a booker agent calls Zamora. The guy, the agent is Christophe Kroot. Everyone's calling me Kroot. And he was like so in love with the band. And he told us like how many times he was like, fuck, once again, Brooks canceled on. Mm. It was not Brooks who was canceling. the tour in France, it was basically the government from Canada was just like cutting everything. We couldn't go out of the country. So it was super complicated, and we had this great album that we were super proud of because there's a lot of work that we put on it, and some songs that Alan put his heart on it, like The Crown or What Happened with the Cathedral Notre Dame, and we were really, really happy with that. And we work with Antoine Graton, who did the orchestration around the classical musicians. So we were like, okay, we did that great album, put a lot of money on it, nothing happened, nothing's gonna happen anyway. But then, now we're back in the days when we went back in France to finally do some shows with our new partner, and we're like, what's going on here? We knew that French people really love all those legends like Aretha Franklin, James Brown, Motown, all that sound, all that groovy soul kind of music sound. Mm-hmm. We already knew that they are super fan of that kind of music. But when we went there and see what happened, and we were like, whoa, okay, people are more and more knows about the Brooks. Like some people, when we hit the road, we go in a festival, and 2 months later, we're going back in France, but people came at us and like, yeah, I saw you at that show, at that festival, but we drove like 3 hours to come to see you guys tonight, and we bought all the album. And so we were like, okay, some really cool stuff happened in France or around France, back in Europe, for us. Yeah. Oh, I think that Mathieu. Yeah, Mathieu?
1 minute.
3 minutes, Mathieu?
I just checked. Okay. I just checked Matt.
Thanks, Matthew.
So that's pretty cool, man. So it's a France success. Do you experience the same success as here as you feel it in France? Is that pretty much the same?
I think here we change everything. The band change, the structures change. And the administration change. So I think it's going to help a lot the band because now we know what we want. We have a plan. We have a new team on stage. We have a new team backstage. And we have that new album we're working really hard on. So the plan is to take care of Quebec because we're from here. Yeah. Alan loves Quebec. He now is his
He's
home.
A Quebecois now. He's a Quebecois
exactly,
now.
Exactly.
Oui.
Exactly.
Oui. Exactly.
I hope for you all the best success right here in Quebec.
Thank you, guys.
The time's gonna be coming short a little bit.
Yeah.
I thanks all my thanks again. It's at the end. I lost all my words. I can't speak anymore. It was an honor to meet you guys.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, I will be front row tonight.
I will be
perfect.
Dancing like a fucking
a little devil.
A little devil. Yeah, that's better than what I just said. Merci tout le monde. Je suis désolé si vous comprenez pas l'anglais. On va si peut-être avoir une traduction qui va avoir apparu. Je sais pas.
On va checker ça.
Je veux remercier Mathieu Larochelle, qui est le booker, qui nous a mis en contact avec les gars, qui est juste là. Merci Mathieu. Honeybee, qui est pas encore un partenaire, mais que l'euro est si bonne.
Oh, Honeybee.
Honeybee. Et mon nom était Pierre-Marc Langevin, c'était Benoît Saint-Pierre et c'était bon en salle.
À la prochaine.